And we'll look there in the Word of the Lord tonight and try to preach as the Lord directs our heart this evening. Malachi chapter number 1. I want to encourage you to be back in the service on Wednesday night. And let's be in our place, be faithful, and get what the Lord has for us. I tell you, the service you miss might be the service that God will have what you need when you need it. I believe that, and I don't want to miss out on what God has for me, and I don't believe you want to miss out on it either. I think you want to be and get what you need from the Lord. Don't forget also, we got our revival meeting coming up, starting the first Sunday in June, June the 2nd. Brother Davey Shelton will be here preaching that morning at 11 o'clock. We'll have regular Sunday school. We'll be in Revelation, Lord willing, in here at 10 o'clock. And then we'll have preaching at 11. And then we're going to have big dinner after the morning service. And I've just got confirmed this afternoon, right before service, Brother Tony is going to have some deer tenderloin here. And all God's people said amen to that. But it's just for me and Tony. It's all it's for. That's all it's for. And but we're going to have, so we need to make sure you bring food that day. And we're going to have a good time of fellowship. Looking forward to Brother Davey preaching for us that morning. No service that night. And then we're going to come in here Monday night, Brother Brian McBride from Bean Blossom, Indiana. Even though he don't spend no time there. He spends more time in North Carolina than I do. He's actually preaching Brother Floyd Perry this week. He'll be preaching Monday night through Thursday night, 7 o'clock each night. I know it's a sacrifice. I know it's hard getting off work and getting everybody here. But you know what? God honors sacrifice. God always honors when we go the extra mile and sacrifice for Him. And so we want to be here on Monday night. Brother Ron Young's youth choir is going to be here singing. On Tuesday night, Brother Seth Sisloff, he pastors up in Elkin. His family will be here singing. They got four young'uns that sang the house down. They're going to be here Tuesday night. And then Wednesday and Thursday, just looking forward to a good meeting and what God has for us. Malachi chapter number 1 tonight. And we began looking at this book last Sunday night, and we're going to pick up where we left off in verse number 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. From the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And every place incense shall be offered in my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even as meat, is contemptible. Ye also say, behold, behold, what weariness is it? And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye have brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye have brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and boweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Now, if you're like me and we read all that, you're thinking, what in the world are we going to get out of this? Well, we got to understand the context of the book of Malachi. Malachi is the last prophet in the Old Testament age. He will be the last messenger that Israel will hear for 400 years until John the Baptist steps on the scene preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We looked at verses 1 through 5 last week, and we dealt with the fact that God loved Israel, but Israel doubted God's love. It was not God's fault, but rather it's because Israel had got cold on God. It ain't amazing when we get cold on God, we want to blame it on God.
We want to say, well, God is saying as real to me as he used to be. I'm going to tell you, God will be as real to you as you'll let him be. We are all as spiritual tonight as we want to be. The reason we're not spiritual is because we choose not to be. And that's a sad reality, but walking in the Spirit tonight is a choice. Being filled with the Spirit is a choice, but it is a choice that you and I do not often make the right choice in. And so the theme of the book of Malachi is the sins of the saints. He is dealing with Israel. We're not going to get to shout much in Malachi, but we're going to, and it's good we're getting ready to have a revival meeting because Malachi is revival preaching. And I want to look at this text tonight, and we're going to break it down and make application. But here's what Malachi is preaching and what Malachi is relaying from the word of the Lord. Let me give you a synopsis of the text, and then we're going to give you an exposition of the text, and then I'm going to go find me a cheeseburger somewhere, all right? The synopsis of the text is this. They are offering God their second, third, and fourth best. They're not giving God the very best in their life. They're not giving God the proper priority and preeminence that he deserves in their life. But what they're doing, they're trying to slide by giving God the leftovers or the lame or those that they don't really want themselves. Ain't amazing you've heard the story of the two guys. We're good about giving things away that we don't have. I'll illustrate it like this. There's an old tale of two guys walking down the road, two good friends, and one of them looked at the other one and said, "Man, if you had $1 million, would you give me half of it?" He said, "Man, as good as friends as we are, if I had $1 million, I'd give you half of it. I'd give you $500,000. They walked on a little further. He said, "Let me ask you another question." He said, if you had two red Mustangs, I mean, fully decked out, would you give me one of them?" He said, "Man, as good as friends we are, if we had two red Mustangs," hence we don't because we're walking, "but if I had two red Mustangs, I'd give you one of them as good of friends as we are." They went a little bit further, walked a little bit further. He looked at him and said, "Hey, man, if you had $20, would you give me 10 of it?" He said, "Man, you know I got $20. Pause for effect. That man was willing to give what he did not have, but he was not willing to give what he did have. You know, we're all guilty of doing that. We'll say, "Boy, if I had this, I'd give it to God. Or if I could do this, I'd do it for the Lord." But we're not giving him what we do have. "Well, if I could sing, I'd do it for the Lord." But you don't even sing out in the congregationals. "Well, if I had $1 million, I'd give it to God." But you won't even tithe and give the missions faithfully. People laugh and joke around about the lottery. We have a rule around here about the lottery. If you play the lottery and I find out about it and you win, there's a couple things going to happen. Number one, we're going to bring you before the church, and we're going to call it out as sin for gambling. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, "Well, I would give some of the money to the church." No, you would give it all to the church because you're not going to profit off of sin. Somebody help me, amen. And then we would say that we are accepting this offering, but the only reason we're accepting it is because we don't want you to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That should keep you from buying a lottery ticket, shouldn't it? Amen. Somebody said, "Well, would you take money from somebody winning the lottery only if they gave all of it?" It's getting quiet right there, ain't it? I hope you ain't got no scratch-offs in your purse or in your pocket, friend. Amen. Clear them out, Tony. But ain't it amazing? You know, we're too busy trying to strike it big that we won't even give God what we have. And when we do give God what we have, we try to find the very... I got some friends I love dearly. But here's what the birds say about them. Cheap, cheap, cheap. And they got more money than I got. They'll squeeze a penny so hard a booger will come out of Abraham Lincoln's nose. I mean, that's how hard they squeeze it. I mean, they cheap, man. They cheap, and they try to find air. And I'm for saving money, and I'm for all that kind of stuff. That's good. Help yourself, all that good stuff. But what are you gonna do when they die? When you die, and you got all that money saved up for your youngest to fight over, and your grandyoungest to fight over? What are you gonna do? What's it profiting you? And here's the point. We want to scrounge by and just do enough. I see these shows online called Extreme Cheapskates. I'm talking about nasty people that use the same bathwater for a week because it saves them $36 in a year. Them people have mental issues right there. I mean, they need to go down to the Social Security office. They have a check waiting for them. I mean, they bathe and wash their clothes in the same water. Not because they don't have water. It's just because they're too cheap to run the water. Amen. I mean, I'd rather be in debt and have clean water than all that stuff. Somebody help me, all right? But here's my point. What they're doing, they're just trying to find the very minimum they have to do to get by. And that's what we're guilty of in our Christian lives so many times. We're just doing just barely enough to get by. We're just barely giving God a little. I'm not just talking about money tonight, but I'm talking about in our worship and our praise and our time and our commitment. We're just doing just barely enough. And I want to preach on this thought tonight, which is the message of Malachi. He deserves better than that. Now, I want to encourage us tonight in this. We don't need to see the scrape by. And I'm not just talking about money tonight, but I am talking about in every aspect of our life. He deserves better than just the very minimum that we can give him. He deserves better than just, you know, well, I go to church 3 times a week. Shouldn't he be happy? No, he deserves better than that. Well, I read the Bible a couple days this week. Shouldn't he be happy? No, he deserves better than that. He deserves better than, I tell you, and I'm not being rude this morning, choir, he deserves better than what we saw this morning. Amen. I mean, we just didn't sing out this morning. Amen. We need to work on that. If we're not going to sing out, we're not going to sing at all. Can I get an amen out of that? He deserves better than that. I'm talking to the ladies, amen. Fellas are doing good. You ladies believe in a meek and quiet spirit. Don't believe in them. You believe in it when you get in the choir, not the rest of the time, all right? Sing out. Get it out. Well, what if I sound bad? If it does, we'll let you know. Amen. If Richie was here, I'd say, won't we, Richie? Amen. My point tonight is he deserves better than that. When we're having congregational singing, everybody needs to have a book. Everybody needs to be participating. Everybody needs to be singing out. Why? He deserves better than that. Amen. When the preacher is preaching, we need to have our Bibles open. And maybe you don't take notes. You don't have to take notes. But you need to be engaged in the service, getting what God has for you. Why? He deserves better than that. Amen. I feel a preaching spell coming on tonight. Notice 3 or 4 things in the text. First of all, there is a direct indictment in verses 6 through 9. God gives an indictment through the prophet Malachi to the nation of Israel. And he's going to do it about 3 or 4 different ways. First of all, he talks about their disrespect in verse number 6. He said, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Now the Lord is speaking in verse number 6, and he's using Malachi to be his mouthpiece. And here's what the Lord's saying. A father receives honor from his children, and a master receives honor from his servants or from his employees. He said, but if I'm your father, and God is, and if I'm your master, and God is, where is my honor? I'm going to tell you what happens many times. We honor earthly people and we honor human people more than we honor the God of heaven. And I tell you, we ought to show honor to whom honor is due. We ought to be honorable people. We ought to put in a good day's work on the job, and we ought to honor our father and our mother and our friends and our neighbors. But I tell you, we ought to honor God at the same time. Amen. He ought not be put on the back row somewhere. He ought not be put on the back shelf somewhere. He deserves honor, but so oftentimes, we give more allegiance to the boss man or to our family than we do to the God of heaven. You're looking at a preacher, and I'm not preaching you need to sacrifice your children on the altar of a church. I'm taking a vacation later this year. I'm taking some time off of my family. I know there were years ago, it was, you know, win the loss at any cost, including your family. I don't mean this wrong, but if my children die and go to hell, I'm a failure, and I have failed in my gospel ministry. I'm going to spend time with them. That's why I coach baseball this year. I had a time to do it and I enjoyed it. Why? Spending time with my boys, and I didn't miss one church service to do it. It can be done. But here's my point tonight. We give so much more allegiance to the boss man or to our family or to things we love that we don't give God the honor and the respect and the reverence that he deserves. Are you hearing me tonight? They were disrespectful. They were despising in verse 6. He said in verse number 6, and if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts to you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Now notice where the Lord lays the indictment. He lays the indictment at the feet of the priest. the leaders in the nation, the religious leaders in the nation. He's letting the preachers have it. He said, I'm going to tell you why the people are treating me like they're treating me, because the preachers are leading by example. The priests are leading by example. They're the ones that's giving their second best. They are despising God's altar. This polluted bread in verse number 7 is speaking of the sacrifices that they would offer upon the altar. The word contemptible means to despise, to regard with contempt, to be despicable, vile, or worthless. When leaders treat God in this manner, a disrespectful manner, we shouldn't be surprised when the laity does that. I tell you, it is a sad reality, the things in the last 5 years that I've heard out of preachers. I mean, what preachers are doing as far as sin. I've heard adultery. I've heard pedophiles. I've heard sodomy. I'm talking about men that are pastors. Men that are preachers. Now, I'm not talking about priests in long robes in the back rooms with little boys. I'm talking about men that hold King James Bibles, adulterers, pedophiles, and sodomites. And then we wonder why the churches are in the case they're in. It's a mess. It's a mess. A man of God, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, he is to be an example to the flock. I'm not a perfect man tonight, by no means. I'll be the first one to tell you that, and my wife will give a hearty amen to that. But I'm to be an example to the flock, and I have an obligation. I do live in a glass house. Are you hearing me tonight? My family does live in a glass house. That's just the reality of it. That's just where we're at, and we need to set the example. But remember, my kids are kids just like your kids. Amen. And my family is a family like your families. But I am still to set the example. Notice this disrespect in verse number 8. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? So this disrespect, I use disrespect twice in my outline apparently. Well, maybe I should read my book on homiletics that I'm writing. I'm trying to think of another word to put there. That's going to bug me now that I've used the same word twice. Oh my goodness, that is terrible. That's like the worst thing you can do is double use a word in your alliteration. That's awful. But watch what they're doing. They offer the blind for sacrifice, and they offer the lame and sick. Is it not evil? Offer it now to thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy purse, saith the Lord? Now my outline ain't real good, but let's break this verse down. Here's what God's saying. God did not take sacrifices that were blemished, or lame, or blind. He wouldn't take those. Can I get an amen out of that? It had to be a specific kind of sacrifice according to Leviticus chapter 22, verses 17 through 30. But watch what God says. They've been bringing God a blind sacrifice, a lame, or a sick sacrifice. Here's what God said. Why don't you give it to your governor? Why don't you give it to somebody you respect and see what they think of it? Why don't you be late to your job like you're late to church? Why don't you treat your wife like you treat the church? Why don't you treat the Lord like you treat the church? Why don't you treat the world like you do the Lord? Talk to me now. I didn't write it. I'm just reading. It's in my text tonight. I get criticized for preaching systematically through books, but here's where we're at tonight. We think more of the world, and we think more of other things than we do the Lord. We would never say some of the things we would never. Let's get real tonight. Us men, we wouldn't just come in and not speak to our wife at the end of the day. But how often do we go through a whole day and don't speak to the Lord? We wouldn't go through a whole day and not speak to our children that live in our home. But we go through a whole day and not speak to the Lord. Do we think more of our spouses and our children than we do the Lord? Amen. We wouldn't treat our jobs. You know, sometimes we come to church. Sometimes we go to work. Sometimes we don't go to work. And sometimes when we feel like it, we don't. I'll tell you, can I just be real? Some of us need to toughen up. Amen. And I'm going to say something right here, and I'm not being rude. I preach with sore throats all the time. I sing with sore throats all the time. Amen. I preach with headaches. I preach with sore throats. I mean, I don't get to call out. Woo, ain't we having fun on Dunn's Mountain Church Road tonight? But some of you, your hair hurts, and you got to lay out for 4 weeks. Talk to me now. I'm being serious. Eric's had a headache for 3.5 years. Carolyn's had one for 50. But he's still faithful to church. And it takes the little least thing to get you out. And I'm on the phone with Janice Perry today, and she's weeping on the phone wanting to come to church. But some of you won't even come back Wednesday night. How about you treat your job that way? Well, I'm tired. Join the club. We're all tired. I mean, you try preaching 3 times a day mentally and physically, see what that does to you. I'm dead on Sunday nights. I'm not complaining. It's just life. But we treat the world, and we treat our families, and we treat our jobs, and we treat the school system, and we treat everybody right until it comes to God. Then God, well, the Lord understands. He understands. Well, how about your boss understanding? Amen. Ms. Tanner and I, we don't need to be disrespectful. I know people have to work. I know you got to pay your bills. I'm not talking about that tonight. But I am saying this. If you get home from, amen, let's just get it right down where we live tonight. If you're home by 6 o'clock on Wednesday night, you ought to be here at the house of God at 7 o'clock. Can I get amen out of that? Well, I've had a long day. So has everybody else in the building. But unfortunately, the church is not about you and about how you feel or how tired you are. You ought to, amen, y'all, get in the car, head down to the house of God. We're done at 8 o'clock anyway and be in church. Well, my physical man's tired. Yeah, but your spiritual man needs it. We got people that get up at 2 and 3 in the morning to go to work, and they're the faithful crowd around here. Amen. Disrespectful. Notice the demand, verse 9. And now I pray you beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord? Malachi says to these priests, you shouldn't be surprised that God's upset with you the way you're acting and living. I'm telling you, we're so disrespectful. Now, if you're throwing up, please stay home. Please. I don't want to see you for 3 weeks if you're throwing up. I don't want none of that. But, I mean, if you got a cough or a sore throat, man, get your horse cough drop and ibuprofen and just deal with it and go on. You know, it's amazing to me, all these churches, I'm done over my time, so I'm just going to preach a little bit tonight. It's amazing all these churches still not having Sunday night church and not having Sunday school because of COVID. What they are is a bunch of lazy scoundrels is all they are. That's all it is. They don't want to study. They don't want to prepare. They don't want to preach. They don't want to inconvenience people to come to church. And so they're just kind of going the way of the world. No, they're lazy is what they are. The reason these preachers only want to preach one time a Sunday, because they don't want to dig in that book. I'm in 4 books of the Bible right now. It's work. It's much study is weary to the flesh. But you know what? The church needs the Word of God. And I gladly, that's why God called me to be a preacher. So if I'm putting the food on the table, that you need to come to the table and eat. And Wednesday night is no less a service than Sunday is. All right, the direct indictment. Number 2, let's see if I've doubled up the outline anymore. The divine informing, verse 10 and 11. Look at the repulsive operations. I'm hurrying. Some of y'all wish I'd hurry up and be done. Who is there even among? I don't know if you're going to be here Wednesday night, though. That's why I got to unload the whole wagon on you. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle the fire on mine altar for naught. And don't worry, I'm fixing to preach at me for a minute. You know what these priests were doing? They were doing the job for the money. They were opening the doors, and they were kindling the fires on the altar, and God had made provisions for the priests to receive a payout, to receive a salary, if you would, to receive a payment for their services. But this crowd was just doing it for the money. They were just doing it to get it and just go through the routine of it. Now, I got to be careful here because our church takes good care of me, but it's right to pay a preacher. And it's right to take care of him. But even if y'all are betting, I'm still supposed to preach the Word of God. I'm still supposed to, I drove 5 hours last year one way to preach a meeting. And got $200, and I gave $75 of it to another preacher's kids before I left. I've went in the hole. But you know what? That ain't what it's about. If that preacher called me tomorrow, I'd go again. It's not about the money. But this crowd there is all about the money. I know guys that won't take a meeting unless they pay $1,000 a night. This ain't hearsay. These are things I know. I tell you, you ain't got to worry about that crowd coming here. I ain't never had a preacher, and I won't have a preacher say, well, I can come, but you got to give me this. I ain't doing that, because our church, we're very good to preachers. Safe Harbor, preachers want to come here and preach. Because, number one, there's liberty to preach, and then we're good to them. We're a blessing to them. We're an encouragement to them. There's a lot of places that I go, and these men go, they don't take care of them, but you know what? They go over and over and over again. I wear Austin Elkins out. He'll go preach a meeting, and I'll say, what'd they give you? And then he'll tell me, I'm like, man, that don't even cover your gas. And I get so mad, and I just fuss all the time. And he's like, I ain't worried about it. And I said, you keep going back? He said, well, it ain't about the money. I'm like, well, you're a better Christian than I am. But you know what? That's the man's call to God. And that's why this church loves him so much. And the other Wednesday night, we was able to give him a good offering. We gave him more that Wednesday night, and he's gotten a whole week of revival before. I say to God be the glory for that. Thank God for men that ain't worried about the money. They're not worried about a pension or a paycheck, but they're going to preach the word of God. But at the same time, the church still has an obligation to be good to God's men. And I say, I want to commend our church in this area, how you take care of me and my family. You remember our birthdays and our anniversaries, and you do things for us. And I'm grateful for that tonight. I'm grateful for that. Notice the rejected offering in verse 10. The whole point of that is, even if y'all didn't do that, I'm still supposed to preach. Verse 10, I have the rejected offering. I have no pleasure in you, said the Lord of hosts. Neither would I accept an offering at your hand. Here's what God said to these people. He said, because you're doing it for the money, you're just doing it for yourself, for your flesh, I'm not even going to accept anything you bring me. Wouldn't that be awful? I mean, there ain't many people I turn money down from. Somebody brought me some money. Even if I didn't like it, I'd take it. Brother Richie had his church take him on support that we disagree on several things, nothing major Bible doctrine, but there's just a few things here that we disagree with. And he said, what do you think about me going over there? I said, their money spends the same. The preacher's qualified. They're King James. Go on over there. I didn't have no problem going. Their money spends the same. I wouldn't join there. I wouldn't join many of the churches I preach revivals in, folks. I'm just telling you. But wouldn't it be awful for God to think so less of you because the way you're living? He said, I don't even want your offering. I don't want your worship. I don't want your praise. I don't want your giving me because I know how you're living. That's awful, ain't it? Notice the righteous observation, verse 11. From the rising of the sun, even going down the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered in my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, said the Lord of hosts. The Lord makes it clear that since the Israel's not respecting him, he's going to go to the Gentiles. And that's you and I tonight. That's the Gentiles that he went to. And we must not be lifted up in pride saying, well, look at us. God turned away from Israel and turned to the Gentiles. Look where we are, the church age. We better not get lifted up in pride because we're in the same place in the church age that Israel was in Malachi 1. We're offering God, it's not bad, but it's not the best either. Number 3, the declared issue, verses 12, 13, and 14. We're going to finish the text. I'm done. Why were they doing this? Why were they giving God things that wasn't right? Well, number one, they lacked respect. Verse 12, but ye have profaned it in that you say the table of the Lord is polluted and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. You know what their problem was? They didn't respect God. You know why we sin and we don't give God our best? Because we don't respect God. They lacked requirement. Verse 13, you said also, behold, what weariness is it? Ye have snuffed at it, said the Lord of hosts. And ye have brought that which is torn and lame and sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept it at your hand? You know what they're doing? They were half-hearted. They looked at it as a job rather than a joy. I'm going to tell you. When you look, are y'all still with me tonight? I'm about done. I'm on verse 13 and 14 and I'm done. When you look at church and your service in the church as a job and not as a joy, you're going to do it half-heartedly. I know it from personal experience. There have been times, and I say this regretfully, but there have been times I've got up to preach in this pulpit, and I ain't been all into it. But it was time to preach. And I was miserable, and it was probably miserable to hear. Well, y'all are so kind. But I don't know, y'all are saying, yes, it was, preacher. It was terrible to hear. You what? We didn't want to be here. I didn't want to be here. I mean, it was just, and you know what? When we live like that, it makes the service of the Lord just nothing. It's a requirement. I got to be there. I'm going to tell you tonight, church, I know I preach pretty plain in Cincinnati. I ain't preach as plain as I could. But we'll say this. Don't get mad because I'm saying you ought to be here on time and you ought to be here faithful. It is required in stewards and a man. It's just basic stuff, man. It's not that hard. You set your alarm earlier. You lay out your clothes Saturday night. When you go to bed Tuesday night, you go ahead and make preparations. If you know Wednesday's going to be hectic getting here, you make that preparations. Why? He deserves better than that. When we sing choir, it don't need to be. You need to lift your voice, and you need to sing out loud. Why? He deserves better than that. He deserves better than what we sung this morning. I'm not scolding you. I'm just telling you the truth. He deserves better than that. I could have sung better. I could have preached better today. He deserves better. Well, preacher, we're never going to give him what he deserves. No, you're exactly right. We're not going to give him what he deserves. We can do better. We can give him our very, very best for the Lord. They lack reverence. Verse 14. But cursed be the deceiver, which hath a flock in his flock a male, and boweth and sacrificed to the Lord a corrupt thing. Let me go back to that choir thing. I ain't going to lie to y'all and say you done good if we didn't do good. I'm in the choir too. I've been saying for years, if we had a good piano player with the choir and Brother Matthew's getting there, we're really going to take off. And then I've been saying, if we had a good pastor around here, we'll church really take off. I'm just holding on until y'all get somebody. Been 11 and a half years and I'm still here. But you know what? We had some better members in here to church take off. It's a two-way street, baby. I ain't going to lie to you. I want us to do right. So often, Grace was picking at me about us getting up here and not practicing before we sing. I usually am against that, but I felt like we could do it. But you know what? So often we're just guilty of, you know, well, we'll slide by. We'll get through it. We'll make it through. No, he deserves better than that. I'm not talking about becoming robotic. I'm not talking about, I don't want you to be an oscillating fan singer. Y'all ever seen them college tour groups that are oscillating fans? They sing like this. Oh, how many of y'all seen that before? That gets on my nerves, you know. I mean, and they sound like the line off the Wizard of Oz, you know. Ooh, that gets on my nerves. Give me a banjo and a guitar and let's go to town, all right? But I am talking about doing your best for the Lord. Singing your best, doing your best. But watch what this crowd was doing in verse 14. I'm done. The deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth. He said, I'm gonna bring God this good male sacrifice in this male in my flock. I'm gonna bring it, this sheep. I'm gonna bring it best to God. But you know what he does? He sacrificed the Lord a corrupt thing. He didn't give God his best. He promised God his best, but he brought God the second best. Now look at the last clause and we're done. For I am the great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Here's what that word dreadful means: to be feared and reverenced. Here's what God's saying. God said, it's bad when the heathen think more of me than my people do. I don't want that to be the case in my life. It has been. I've been half-hearted singing, been half-hearted preaching before, been half-hearted serving God. It shouldn't be that way. But you know what? He deserves better than that. So when we sing Wednesday night and we come back in here, first of all, you got to get here. Amen. When we get in here and we grab a song, but we need to sing out. We need to sing our very best. And when we go to testify, we need to make sure it's about Jesus. And when I preach, I need to give it the very best I've got. There's been times I haven't done that. But you know what? May God help us to do our very best, because he deserves better than that. As we stand tonight, I appreciate you.